Chapter 48, The Cup People, 2023. Chapter 48, The Cup People, 2023. Boy, I remember when I made this stuff, you know. At the time, I was even thinking, how did I get this stuff? Well, we know how. Let's get started. The Cup People is the study of a limited state of mind, possibly even a corrupted mind or restricted. All of us are subject to this thing. Pay attention. We're all subject to this thing. Stuck. The status quo is fiercely maintained in the cup people. Stuck. Those who are stuck in the cup, they don't want out. A cup person likes the cup. It's comfortable, familiar. Yeah. There is control over daily life. Things stay the same and are understood. New information is not welcome here. Sounds like utopia, doesn't it? Not really. A place where all things exist and are agreeable. Where's the problem? The cup is a mirage. It's not real, at least not very long. A perpetual machine of comfort does not exist. We're all looking for it. A perpetual machine of comfort does not exist. Sometimes we call it passive income. It doesn't exist, okay? A perpetual machine of comfort does not exist, even in the mind, and absolutely not in the physical world. Without growth, resources run out, and life without substance simply fades, dust in the wind. Cup people, consider a cup of coffee. What is it exactly? I'm gonna explain it. Consider a cup of coffee forgotten on a table. You know, maybe outside in the backyard or something, you set down a cup of your coffee and it's almost finished, but not quite. You set it down, forget it, right? Accidentally left unattended, the cup dries out. But it really kind of becomes a science project, doesn't it? Organisms are born in this new toxic environment as an actual hierarchy is born, right? In this cup, it's this science project, an actual hierarchy of organisms is born from it, a sort of government. Top dog all the way down to the scum at the bottom of the cup. An ecosystem that persists quite well for a short time. The experiment provides some type of food for the organisms in the cup until the coffee and the cream, whatever is left of the sugar, the resources, so to speak, dry up and are completely absorbed into the organisms now existing in the cup. Well, what happens? Finally, it all dries up. It dies. The rain comes, and if the cup's outside, you know, the owner of the cup, maybe the rain comes, it's outside, washes it clean, or the wind comes and just simply blows the remaining debris into the air, or you find your cup and clean it out. The people, the cup people, the organisms in the cup are gone. They cease to exist as if they never were. You see, the walls of the cup may have provided safety or perceived safety to whatever was in the cup for a while. There was food, water, even a government of sorts. In the cup, a person can pretend nothing gets in. They can pretend that everything's okay. Nothing gets in, nothing gets out. If I can't get myself out of the cup, I can't get myself or anybody else out of the cup. What's it look like in a cup? A prison in the name of being important? Well, it doesn't look like a prison at the time, but yeah, it's a prison in the name of being important. In the cup, you can be important. In the cup, you can pretend like you're important. You're in the hierarchy of a government. You're climbing your way to the top of this scum at the bottom of this coffee cup. People in the cup fight for their right to be stupid. They believe that where they are is where they need to be. And then any other new information is not welcome here. They come to believe that everything outside of the cup is irrelevant or bad. Everything outside of the cup, it's stay out of there. Don't go in there. Don't go into the world or don't go out of the cup. Slip back into the safety of the walls of the cup. Hiding in self-importance, a vision of what? I say drill a hole in the side of the cup and get out, right? Proverbs 4, 6, 7. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it cost all you have. Get understanding. Well, in the cup, in the case of the cup, whatever you got to do to get understanding, get out. And what pain there is in the cup when all the infrastructure of the cup finally turns to dust and blows away, leaving nothing for all the efforts. Nothing except pain. You're lost in a cup. Pain is a wake-up call, isn't it? Pain is a wake-up call. A quote from C.S. Lewis from his book, The Problem of Pain. Pain is what can get you out of the cup when you realize how stuck that you are. The human spirit, C.S. Lewis says in his book, the human spirit will not even begin to try to surrender self-will as long as it all seems to be well. No, now error and sin both have this property, that the deeper they are, the less their victim suspects their existence. They are masked evil. Pain is unmasked, unmistakably evil. Every man knows that something is wrong when he is being hurt. And pain is not only immediately recognizable evil, but evil impossible to ignore. We can rest contently on our sins and in our stupidities, and anyone who has watched gluttons shoveling down the most exquisite food as if they did not know what they were eating will admit that we can ignore even pleasure. But pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasure, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. C.S. Lewis, The Problem of Pain. What does that mean in the cup? When the cup starts to disappear, you realize the pain of being stuck. You can't get out. You can't climb to the top through the organisms that are in there. You're cooked. The pain is real. But man, when the organisms are there and it's first left the cup and it begins the science project, it's like a glutton shoveling in food. He doesn't even know that he's eating fine, exquisite food. Fine, exquisite food. He just shovels it in. He doesn't even realize that it's good, but it's only good for a moment in the cup. Because pretty soon, sin, pain, begins to make its yield evident. Its yield evident. I've told you before, if the devil can't make you sin, he will waste your time. The cup is a time waster. How much time do you really think you have to waste? Years? Months? Weeks? Days? Hours? Minutes? Or seconds? You don't know, do you? Neither do I. Let me tell you a little story. Luke 12, 19, 21. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be married. Let me read that again. Be merry. M-E-R-R-Y. You have laid up many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Whose will those things be? Who will get your stuff? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Scripture can be hard to read if you're just blasting through it. What does this say? The guy who's like, no, I got to put up my, I'm working so that I can stash money. And now I've done it. I'm going to kick back and relax. And God says, that's great. Except tonight you're going to die. So who's going to get all your dough? And that's what it's like for those people who lay up treasure for themselves and they're not rich towards God. He has no riches for God. He has money for the world, but now he's going to die. What has he done for God? What does he have laid up as a treasure for what God has given him? That's the point in Luke 12, 19, 21. Isn't it true? We're all caught up in the daily grind. Got to get a loan. Got to get the house. Got to keep up with the Joneses. Make some moves. Can't change anything. No, sir, will not change. I'm not changing my course for anybody. No, siree, Bob. I will not learn. I will not listen. I will not comply. And then what? And then we fail. That's what. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. What does that mean? That means that you've been so busy with the world, you didn't learn the word. You didn't learn from God. And if you didn't learn from God, you can't teach your children. He forgets you and your children. Well, I thought this, that, and the other thing, God, love, and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, I'm just reading you what the scripture said. I didn't make it up. I'm just telling you what it says. Cup people limit themselves, family, the futures of everything and everybody, and their soon-to-be-over life. The cup people, whoa! It is, man. It's like a B horror movie, isn't it? I've said it before. In a breach of your fiduciary duty, you cease to exist. If you decide to use everything that God gave you to get in the cup, pretty soon you cease to exist. Suddenly what you were is no more. One is left only with the memory of being special without being special anymore. The cup offers a short-term feel important. Without knowledge and wisdom of what is outside of the cup, luck runs out, kids. Time runs out. Resources run out. You simply disappear. Sin and stupid, it'll do loo and mediocre. All of it yields the same thing, nothing. Sin, stupid, it'll do loo and mediocre. It yields nothing. Stubbornly holding out in the cup is lethal to all future achievements. Let go, get out. Run to win. Fight to learn. Engage true believers. Surround yourself with people that are winners, not cup people. Discover the word. Climb out. Be delivered from the hands of fate into the hands of destiny. Come on, kids. Move it. Get out. Amen, amen. Out of the hands of fate into the hands of destiny. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about. Is it possible to get in the cup when a person is outside of the cup? Well, yeah. Traps and blessings look the same. They look the same up front, but one is long-term and one is short-term. But up the front, they look the same. They offer hope to be important. Armed with truth, all of us are, even with the truth, we are all susceptible to the mysticism and the excitement of the occult, false prophecy, wrong thinking, magic, theories and generalities. Not good. All this stuff promises short term, I can get you there quicker. It's a shortcut. I can get you there. It doesn't get you there quick. It gets you lost. Theories, generalities, not good. It's all entry-level cup person stuff. Stuck, wasting time, valuable resources. Be careful with whom you find yourself keeping company, lest they be the doorman to oblivion. Can you dig that? Be careful who you're hanging out with, man. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. How many times have I told you? A predator has no conscience. Be careful of what people are saying to you. Come on with me. Give me all your stuff, and I'll make you famous, rich, important, money, property, and prestige. Woo! I got it for you. Just simply do this, or don't do that, or that silly church stuff, all that silly stuff, all that old mumbo jumbo. That's all crazy talk. Stay away from it. Chapter 48, the cup people. Is it a sin? Well, disobedience is a slippery slope, isn't it? There are really good reasons people have to do the things that shouldn't be done. Oh, yeah, we have really good reasons. Notice I didn't call them excuses anymore. Really good reasons to do things that shouldn't be done. Wasting your talent is never good. I'll say that. Wasting your life, I'd say that's worse. We all make mistakes, don't get me wrong. Staying in the cup too long is a mistake. Getting out of the cup and climbing back in is a travesty. If you can get yourself out of the cup and then find yourself getting back in it, that is a travesty. The measure of the man or the woman, I always say, is how fast they get off of it. Get off of their bad ideas, their assumptions, their requirements, their expectations. The measure of the man or the woman is how fast they get off of that. And in this case, get out of it. How fast they get out of the cup. A cup is for coffee. That's it, man. Napoleon Bonaparte is quoted to say, Alexander, Caesar, and Charlemagne and I have founded empires. I mean, get that statement. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him. Holy Toledo. Dig. Napoleon got it, didn't he? He founded his empire on force. Christ founded it on love. And he has more people that would die for him today than anybody. Why don't I see all that God has given me and yearn for it? Why don't I see all that God has given me? Why is it so hard for me? Or you? Why is it so hard? Because he's so slick. We hardly even notice it of all the things he's given us. He's taken such good care of us. He's so slick. We don't even notice how much we have to pray for. We see so many big things, but there's so many little things that have to happen so the big things can happen. The great tactician. Why do I see it now? Why do I see now all the opportunity that has passed me by? Is it selfish? Or is it the state of man? Why couldn't I see all this stuff when in days gone by? Why not? Adam Clark, a British Methodist theologian noted in the 1800s, is saying, beasts, birds, fowls, and in many cases, pond fishes know and seem thankful to the hand that feeds them. While man, made much more noble than they, gifted with the greatest powers, privileged with the most important benefits, considers not the Lord, nor discerns the operation of his hand. Quadrupeds, reptiles, and fowls have more gratitude to their master than man has to his God. Oh yeah, dig that. Matthew Poole, an English nonconformist theologian and biblical scholar during the mid-1600s, said, and I quote, God hath given to man those gifts which he hath denied the beasts, reason and religion, wisdom to know God and themselves and their obligations to God and their dependence upon him. And therefore it'll becometh them to lie like brute creatures, roaring and crying out in their miseries without taking any notice of God in way of prayer or praise. And if they do so, it is no wonder if God takes no notice of them. We have all this available to us, and we squander it, and then we pray to God. That's what they're saying here. What is wrong with us? We've been given everything. Well, that was back in the 1600s. That's when people still could hear about God. Right now, 20,000, 2000, the year 2010, 20, 2020, 2023, nobody's talking about God except he doesn't exist. Oh, I'm telling you. You best believe it. The moment you accepted Christ in your life, you became a ministry on two feet. Yes, you and I. The moment we accepted Christ, we became a ministry on two feet. But there's two kinds of ministry, either an easy ministry or not an easy ministry. An easy ministry, you go to church, you look holy, you say a few prayers for people, set up some chairs, maybe be a greeter and go home feeling pretty good about yourself, right? No follow-up necessary. See you next Sunday. Not a bad start, though. It's not a bad start. But if you stay there, and that is the extent of your ministry, you're stuck. Go nowhere, do nothing, and suddenly a person that doesn't want to do anything else, suddenly you don't want to do anything else. You're doing enough. As far as you're concerned, it's enough. You see, in the not-so-easy ministry, there's no follow-up required. Come to church, say a few prayers, talk to people, enjoy the company, and leave. A feeling of complete is in order. Feeling pretty good. Holy has been achieved until next Sunday, right? I got it. Next Sunday, I'll get holy again. Is that really the extent of God's gift of eternal salvation, redemption in the blood of Christ? Can't be. It can't be. He's given too much for any of his children to stop ministry at the entry-level position, especially those who have been given so much. Growing in the faith is a prerequisite to the full armor of God. Come on, kids. Growth as a soldier of Christ for all that we have been given. Don't you want to just knock it down and just do for him? 1 Corinthians 3, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? You've heard so many times you're not of this world. You have been given Jesus Christ. And now we're still fighting about stuff, or we're only holy on Sunday, and during the week we're just our usual doofus selves. 1 Corinthians 3, 1, 3, that is the cup, people. You're still worldly. You're still in the cup. Fighting for the right to stay stupid when so much is offered in kingdom work. So much is offered in kingdom work. Look, being an example of Christ is a full-time job. There's nothing part-time about it. However, the cup is an equal opportunity employer. Believers or non-believers, stuck is available to everybody. Okay, that's the definition of an easy ministry. That's easy ministry. How about the not-so-easy ministry, the out-of-the-cup option of chapter 48? Ephesians 6, 10, 18. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit of all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. That's a little different than I think I'll stay in the cup and be important. When engaged inside of a not-so-easy ministry, now get this, kids. Nobody ever feels adequate, like I've done my best and I'll wait till next Sunday. Nobody ever feels adequate. Pastors, worship leaders, teachers, youth group, all those folks go home with the job. The challenges, problems, personal phones constantly buzzing through the night, blowing you up, requiring a never-ending amount of follow-through. Scripture, prayers, guidance from the Word, and helping people in the realization of where they are. As one stands, a watchman over God's flock. A watchman. The not-so-easy ministry, a watchman over God's flock. The treachery found in the world, realizing the treachery that's in the world. The vulnerability and weaknesses of our human condition, sin, and the debauchery it causes. Yes, yes, yes. Does this help your business? Oh, my God in heaven, it helps you and your business. It keeps you in a good line so you know how to do business. And out of the cup where you pretend like you're important, make a difference in the God-given gift of redemption and stand firm on the front line with the Creator himself against Satan, an unstoppable force of evil who would surely kill us all. Mediocre is bad, kids. Stuck is no good. Stupid is stubborn, and God is infinite. You are infinite with him. Jesus asked Peter three times a very pertinent question. John 21, 15, 25. He asked him three times. I'm going to tell you the third time. Three times he asked him. Very similar question, if not the same. John 21, 15, 17. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Do you love me? He said. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep is not an easy ministry. Not an easy ministry. Changes the world irrevocably forever, anytime, all the time. And who started the not-so-easy ministry? Come on, kids. The cross. The cross. The blood of Christ. Jesus is the beginning of the not-so-easy ministry that changes everything. Oh, man. It's been a short lesson this morning, but it's intense, ain't it? Come on. We can take this stuff and use it right now. Chapter 48, the cup people. Make your choice, kids. Get out of the cup or be one of the many representatives of complete ignorance. This is the real deal, and you have been given so much. Let's use it to rock and roll for Christ. Amen, amen. John, let's get us back to work, brother.